Okay, so we're here to discuss parcel ID 07-007-003, followed by seven zeros. The address is 838 Bay Road, and the owners are Richard Higgins and Deborah Higgins.
Yeah, I go by Debbie.
Okay.
Only my mother is allowed to call me by my real name.
Okay, Debbie.
No, we got that.
Just to put it up.
So, I'm going to ask you and Bob Bickery, the assessor, to raise your hands and take the following oath. Under the pains and penalties of perjury, do you solemnly swear that the evidence you give in the cause under consideration shall be the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Have you received copies of the rules of procedure, and do you have any questions about them?
I believe we did, but I don't know that I have it with me.
I don't think I have any questions.
Oh, maybe it's us. It must be this, right?
Notice?
Yeah.
I don't think I have any questions. I have written on it.
No.
Okay. Now I'll ask BCA members to introduce themselves.
I'm Charlie Capillo.
Thank you. Richard Higgins.
Peg Gillard.
Mommy Nesowitz.
As I said, Jackie Murphy.
And Julie Bader.
Do any of the BCA members have any conflicts of interest or ex parte communications regarding this case?
No.
Okay. So I'll ask Bob to briefly introduce the property on appeal by describing the property and its present valuation.
Sure. This property is located at 883 Bay Road. It is a single family home.
Did you say 883?
838,
sorry. Just me entering out the right card.
You want to see if we're awake.
It's like this is a test.
Single family home on 25 acres. Prior to the Board of Lister hearings, it was assessed for $781,400. The Board of Listers did make an adjustment to the property and is now assessed at $762,900.
Mm-hmm. So I'll now ask the appellants to present your valuation and supporting evidence, and you have 10 minutes to do so.
Okay. I'm going to start just by giving a little blib about our house, something that it's unique to us because of my accessibility needs. And then he's going to do the stuff that we got from the realtor who did an assessment. So the house has been redone just to accommodate me. We have ramps on the exteriors. It's one level inside, with the exception there's basement stairs, and I have a chairlift for that. The stove is a low stove. It's 28 inches off the ground, and the oven is a small 28-year-old side-open wall mount oven for my accessible needs. There is no bathroom door to the master bath. We had to remove that to make it accessible. And if anyone coming in after us buying the house would have to change out the countertops and the cupboards and the sinks and the appliances and stuff to make it back at the right height, and put in a bathroom door, obviously, for the master. Ramps or something that probably anybody would leave or maybe take off, I'm not sure. We also have a ramp to our accessory unit because my elderly parents live there. Our daughter and her husband lived there for 4 years when we first bought the house. We did not charge them rent. They were saving money for their own house. And my parents moved in a year ago after living in the same place for almost 60 years. And needing some assistance and not being able to take care of their property in Hanover, where I grew up. We're never going to rent that accessory unit. It came with the property. We only wanted it to have accommodations for our entire family. So we wanted to be multi-gen living situation in the house. When my parents are no longer with us or are unable to live there, it's never going to be rented. I am never going to be a landlord. He can have a man cave or anything else. We're never going to be landlords. And I think that's one thing that might affect the value of the place, is someone thinks that this is an income-bearing property. It is not. We also, when we first bought the house, the property in front of us was apartments that were rented to long-term tenants, and that has since changed. They are Airbnb now, and on multiple occasions there have been box trucks from Lowe's parked there for 2 weeks at a time, and they block the driveway sometimes, the common access for us to get out. We have people pull their boats in and their cars in and turn around in our yard. There is constant traffic, sometimes as many as 7 to 10 cars at that house in front of us, sometimes blocking the main entrance, sometimes parking in our yard. Last weekend we had a wrecker drop off a car and left it in our yard.
Across the street.
There's a garage across the street that does repairs, and we got their car. It's been a bit of a headache, to say the least, and the salvage yard next to us has quieted down some since the owners have changed and they've cleaned out most of their stuff, but there is still a lot of noise from their big equipment, and there is...
And it's still a salvage yard.
It's still a salvage yard, just different owners and different stuff in there. There's a lot of road noise from Bay Road, from the highway we can hear, and Route 2 and 7. We can hear all of those inside of our house, partly because of our windows that are crappy. The original windows with the house, the roof is the original. We get this increase. Our incomes haven't changed. I work part-time from home. I work remotely for a company that I've been working for 22 years. I used to go to the office when I lived in the Upper Valley, but moving here, he allowed me to do complete remote work, and I do my husband's book work. He has his own landscaping property maintenance business, and now he'll get to the nitty-gritty of...
Yeah, so we did have our realtor who... we used when we bought the home in 2019 at $433,000. We've done one significant upgrade of a new garage built a year ago. Its evaluation is at the peak of $57,300. So what I did was I just crunched.
Okay, I just say also the garage does not, that new garage has no insulation and no heat, and he was hoping to use some for his business, but my parents are currently using it as their storage because they have too much crap from after 16 years. So we're not even getting to use the new garage.
So just taking the hour we bought in 2019 at fair market value at $433,000. The house is more or less not changed. The roof is the same roof, the windows are the same windows, the siding is the same siding, the outside patios and whatever are the same as they were when we came. The increase in value of the home alone since we bought in 20, with this new assessment alone, the one that came back after the first grievance, it's 63% higher than what we paid for the house in 2019. That's just the house. That's not including the garage. When I take the garage and add it, so what I did was took the total number of 762 minus the 57,300 for the garage, gave 705,600. That increase is 63% more. We are not in the real estate market. We don't buy and sell homes, but even if I do an AI search, it says at the most increase that's happened since 2019 is 50%. So regardless, 63% is high, you know. We've got a new assessment that we went through with our realtor. She did some comps in the area, comparable sizes, bedrooms, and whatnot, and she says our home is marketable at $670,000 to $680,000. is what she feels is a fair price.
And that's without changes back from the accessibility stuff, which would...
Correct. That's not, that, well, that's her, yeah, her assessment based on the way our house is configured with Debbie's stuff inside and whatever. It certainly doesn't increase the value to have a cooktop that's 28 inches instead of 3 feet. And like Debbie said, all of our appliances are almost 30 years old. They're 28 years old that we brought from our old house so that it fit her needs in this house. The Airbnb out front, as Deb said, is a bit of a nightmare, whether there's a lot of traffic, it's people we don't know. They don't respect that I have no trespassing / no turnaround signs posted at our driveway. We share a driveway with that home. So that's our in and out. It's also their in and out, but they come in at all hours. It could be midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. There's no time, you know. And the, like she said, a car showed up for the garage across the street last week and was literally in our driveway parked. And I had to call the police to come and figure out what's this car in our driveway, because its glove box was open and whatnot. And so then eventually 2 hours later, a tow truck came and took it away from in front of our garage. This is all stuff that I don't feel like if you lived in a common neighborhood that happens. You know, it's like, it's the shared, the proximity to commercial buildings and the proximity to an Airbnb and other rental apartments. It's not like everybody living around us is like family like we are, where everybody knows everybody. The noise alone, the car noise on Bay Road has increased since we moved in here in 2019. I think all roads have increased in noise just based on the influx of people. You know, there's more houses along the lakefront, there's more development everywhere, and you know, people cutting through trying to evade traffic out here, they cut across our road, so the noises in with our old windows and whatnot, it all comes in. And as I explained to the listeners before, there's stuff about the house that I didn't know when I bought it, but I do know now, is like the original builder did not ventilate the roof correctly, so our roofing is deteriorating at a higher rate, and it's going to need to be replaced within the next few years. It's going to be a significant burden on us as far as paying for that alone. It's a big roof. The house is a ranch. It has a lot of roof. There's other stuff that the windows were poorly. I mean, at the time, they're probably all right. They're pretty poor quality windows. The noise level that comes through them, the sweat that gets on them in the wintertime from cold and hot. And then there's just stuff in the house that it kind of speaks for itself when it's looked at, but it's not, I built a lot of nice houses. Our house is, it's nice, but it's not 63% better than it was 7 years ago. Let me put it that way. Like, if anything, stuff is just deteriorated. I personally don't get the how it's gotten to where it is. So with the realtors, if I take our original buying price, and I'm not saying the original number that was on the tax card of $325,000 value or whatever, we bought the house in 2019 for $433,000. I add the garage to it for $57,300. That becomes $490,300. If we increase that value by 37%, we're at $671,000. Right now it's at 63% increase of value. So I hope that we're better prepared. We do have the our realtors, I forget how she worded this, but it's a
presentation, I guess.
Presentation, I guess, is how she said it. So she was listing the house. This is what she would bring to us and be like, this is what I found for comps. This is blah, blah, blah. So that you guys could look it over if you want to. We can hand it out now.
Is this one copy or is it one for
you? We only have one copy because it's all these pages.
You don't mind, I'm just gonna make a copy.
Yeah, it was a lot of printing already.
Our tax burden went up, I don't know, $3,000 increase.
Here is the total tax is $11,470.94. And the total tax before was $8,266.79.
So yeah, it went up.
And that's before the state paid a portion.
Yeah, for hours, so, or whatever, homesteader. But, so it's an increase of, right now as it sits, it's an increase of $3,200 increase in tax burden. And we're not saying that we don't expect that there's an increase in value or whatever. We know that stuff has gone up. Groceries have gone up. Everything's gone up. We understand that. But I don't know, and I don't get where the initially the house was evaluated at 80% increase from 2019. You know, and that's if you take the garage out of that, you're probably talking a 75% increase. But that's huge. I mean, that's a huge number to increase the value of a home that's the same exact home as it was when we went there in 2019. And Debbie and I, honestly, when we bought in 2019, thought, I can't believe we're paying $433,000 for this house. And I certainly would, I wouldn't even begin to walk to that house now and even think that I'd want to buy it at 762, let alone 670, as our realtor says. Like, I just, it's mind-boggling to me. And I don't know, I was wondering, and maybe you guys know, there is a question I have. So as far as the tax burden in the town, when a few years ago we voted in to use the 1% tax to pay for the rec center?
Yeah. That has no impact on the tax burden.
I know, but why does that 1% not go towards our tax burden as a whole?
Because when the local option tax was adopted by the town, at the time, it was for only to retire existing debt and for voter-approved capital projects. And so that's the only thing we can use that
way. And that's set in stone for...
Well, unless someone...
Okay, because I was thinking about that today. I'm like, why?
It doesn't go into the general fund.
Yeah, because it was like $14 million.
Oh, there's a lot of money.
It would help a lot of people.
That's not the purpose of this hearing, unfortunately.
It was a question. It was a question of like in the general burden of taxes.
Yeah.
You know? Because we weren't familiar. Okay. We didn't come.
Yeah, you didn't live here probably when it was.
Exactly, passed. Not until 2019. Yeah.
So, Bob, would you like to?
Sure. So I'm just going to go through how the current is assessed currently. It's assessed at $762,900. In that assessment, one of the things that we looked at was the land value and the location. Most of Bay Road is considered average location for the town, but because the proximity to the salvage yard being behind another property, we reduced the site by 25% to take into account the location. The other piece to that was the additional 23 acres of bulk land or excess land, and because of the topography being down a ditch and narrow, going behind the salvage yard, we reduced that by 90% of what a typical value is for Colchester.
So at $182,000 is a 90% decrease?
The 23 acres value of $17,000 is a 90% decrease.
Yeah, but the other part
it's
of the
25% decrease.
And it's wetlands down there too. Like we don't have any. Yep. There's no use for
it. Yeah, that's why we're.
But we're still taxed $182,000 for the land.
Yeah.
So the house site is valued at
$165,000.
Which has a shared driveway, three right of ways across the property.
Yep, so typical half acre lot in Colchester is going to be around $200,000. For an average lot in Colchester.
I'd say in a neighborhood or something, like say Crossfield Drive or...
So Richard, I just want to interrupt you for a second. Let's let Bob finish his presentation. We have time for that, okay?
Thank you, Julie.
So then with the house, one of the things that the Board of Listers did was reduce the quality grade of the house based on what your evidence was given to us or to the board at the time, which did reduce that value of the building based on your evidence of quality of construction. So we do have it as an average quality ranch, even though when you look at the foundation and the angles in the foundation, you would assume it's a higher quality ranch. So we do have this as a two family occupancy because of the ADU, even though the use of it is not going to be. We don't look at what the current use is, we look at what the potential buyer would look at it for.
And if we were to change that, is there a way to change that?
Yeah, you could probably change that through zoning.
And does that make a difference in our evaluation?
A little bit, yeah. So we did do a sales grid. This particular one, we actually had the software generate it automatically. So it came up with comparable properties. There were recent sales, 360 Church Road, 250 Great Birch Road, 476 Williams Road. These are smaller lots, but they are single families with ADUs. That's why the computer software system picked those out. I would say, just a recommendation, when you do go out and look at the property, we do have triggers for certain things, like proximity to a salvage yard that you can apply to the building that the listers did not apply. So that would be what we consider external obsolescence or economic obsolescence. And that's something that's outside the property that affects the value of the building. A functional obsolescence would be something, a design flaw in the building that would have to be repaired or could be repaired to bring the building up to what a typical buyer would purchase the property for. For instance, you mentioned that the accessibility renovations you made to bring those back, that would be a functional obsolescence. Or put those back to where you'd see in a typical ranch. So those are triggers that are there in a cost approach. The other one was a physical obsolescence, which is based on the age and wear and tear of the building, which in this situation I would steer clear of that. I'd look more at the functional and economic obsolescence for location and cost to repair.
So neither one of those have been applied yet?
No, they have not.
Okay.
And I guess probably our time's up. We have a close friend in town, lives not far from us. I looked at their tax card, and their house is valued at 73% good. Ours is valued at 84% good. Theirs was built in 2002, and ours was built in 2005. They're off of the main road, just above Finelli's. But I don't, like, from a three-year period, that's an 11% decrease in value of one home to another. How is that all founded?
You said they're at 80%?
They're at 73% on their tax card.
There could be, I'd have to look at the card.
In their houses, you know, it's similar to ours. It has vinyl siding.
I can't comment that without looking at it, without seeing it.
Yeah.
But typically, for age and physical depreciation, it's the age of the house and the wear and tear on the house. And you're looking at if the house is in average condition, it's basic maintenance. If it's deferred maintenance, you're going to see wear and tear on the house. You're going to see some of the components of the house wearing out or needing to be replaced. When it's poor condition, those components need to be replaced, multiple components, and the wear and tear on the house is to the point where it's actually causing physical damage to the house, structural damage. On the other side, when we go to good condition, we're assuming the house is well maintained, all the components that wear out are being replaced before the life expectancy. And then if you go into very good or excellent condition, you're expecting renovations to that property, kitchen renovations, bathroom. So we have it as average condition. So it's basic maintenance, which is what we're looking at this house for that. And being a 2005 home, average condition, we're depreciating 16% based on the sale prices of other properties that are in that age range of average condition. So, any questions?
Any questions from the PCA?
No.
So, just for your purposes, the inspection committee will be in contact with you to inspect the property within 2 weeks. The inspection committee is to verify property in regards to testimony heard today, along with the assessor's property record card information. So we'll be in touch with you to set up a time that three members of this group can come and actually tour the house, the grounds, you know, see the things that you've talked about.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, and will we have an opinion on the scheduling, or is it we just get told the time and that's gonna work?
We'll be in touch with you probably tomorrow. I mean, we have to do it very quickly, so. Okay.
She'll get in touch.
I have some doctor's appointments coming up, and then I'm traveling to like Hitchcock for some of them. Uh-huh. So,
is there a day next week that's good for you? Because we actually have to do this next week.
Yeah, next week. I mean,
this week is tied up, and then Friday before Labor Day, I have a doctor's appointment.
Yeah, so earlier next week.
So. Maybe Monday, Tuesday or Wednesday. Monday seems to be out for us right now, but Tuesday or Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Okay, we'll try to do it Wednesday.
Yeah.
What's the date?
Do you think it'll be in the morning or?
Someone will call anyway.
Is it during like?
They got to coordinate this.
A certain time period though? Like from 8 until 4?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, well, sort of, yeah.
I think generally speaking, the ones that are involved, it's going to be in that window for sleep evening. Unless that we've had to be done.
No, the evening's fine too. I work for myself. I kind of have to set.
He's got to go. Yeah. He leaves the house. I'm there, but I can't show someone around the property. So
not as well, no. For sure.
And I have to give the parents notice as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Right. Right.
Usually you have their contact information, telephone number?
Yes.
Make sure.
So the Rand D. Higgins email or Gmail, and then the 662-5727? Okay.
So we'll now recess this meeting to a date and time not more than 30 days from the hearing to accept the inspection committee report.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Have a copy of that from
yes, I did, and I'm going to make sure everybody else gets a copy of it too so they can review it.